Welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be learning Yechezkel Perek Chof. This is the 20th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. And this is a really remarkable Perek in so many ways. It is one of the historical recountings Yechezkel has of the history of the Jewish people, but it comes with a very sharp point. It is in fact a response to the visitation of Zekenim. Once again, for the third time in Sefer Yechezkel, we see the elders are visiting Yechezkel for some form of leadership, and this is his response to them. We actually don't get to hear what they say directly, but we can imagine what they say through his response. So let's take a look at this. The Perek is essentially broken up into his historical narrative of the history of the nation of Israel and Hashem's relationship to them, and the transposition of that into the present and what that means today. So let's go through it. The first section tells us, is there an introductory from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Dalet, is the introduction of how these elders came to him in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth of the month. So that is essentially on the 10th of Av, the future day when the Beis Hamikdash will be burning. 7 years is understood as Mefarshim from the seventh year of the Galus of Yehoyachin. So we're talking about 4 years before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. This is when this is all going on. And the Zakenim come, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to them and says, Halid Rosh Oisi Atem Baim? Are you coming to ask of me? Chayani Im Edroish Lachem? I'm going to ask of you. And therefore Hashem says, I'm going to ask about not just you, but your parents and your legacy. So here we go. Let's jump straight into this. The first part of this narrative starts with Hashem finding us and choosing us in the land of Egypt. It runs from Pasuk Hey to Pasuk Tes, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how He chose us as a nation in Egypt, a fledgling nation, a substrata of Egyptian society, and Hashem says, I am choosing you as a nation, not as individuals, patriarchs, tribes, but as a nation. And on that day He revealed Himself to us. He promised to take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim to a land of milk and honey. But instead of listening to Hashem, they rejected him, and they kept their idols. Vayamruvi, v'loy avuli shmoyali, Eli, you didn't want to listen to me. Yisha shikutzei anehem lo yishlichu, v'eskilu le Mitzrayim lo yozovu. They did not abandon their bad ways, and they did not leave the disgusting things of Egypt. But Hashem decided not to destroy the men. So why not? Because, and this is the refrain which comes up again and again and again, va'as l'man shemi, for my name, not to empty my words of promise that this nation is going to be special, not because of you, but because of my words. Before getting to the next section, just one quick question before moving on to the next historical section, is that it sounds like the Jews were doing idolatry in the land of Egypt. So what is this referring to? When exactly did this occur? So Rashi quotes famously, as we know in the Torah, that v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim, that only 20% of Israel actually ascended out of the land of Egypt. The other 80% were not really interested in this part of their destiny. And so therefore, yes, that's the point, is that 80% of them weren't willing to actually leave the galus they were in. They were completely happy with the place in society that they had found for themselves. So yes, this is absolutely correct. But the Radak says, no, maybe it could have been that before Moshe Rabbeinu, no one was listening. There were other prophets who kept saying, do you remember what Yosef had told us, what Yaakov has told us, that this is going to be temporary, we're going to go out of here. Nobody listened to them until Moshe Rabbeinu came. So it's an indictment on the people up till now, up to Moshe Rabbeinu's arrival, because we don't seem to see that rejection explicitly. Then, we go on to the next section. The next section runs from Pasuk Yud to Chof Vav. And this section talks about how Hashem tended us and looked after us in the desert. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us through the desert and gave us laws to live by and the Shabbos to enhance our lives. But Bnei Israel again, Vayamru, they rejected the laws, they desecrated the Shabbos, Ma'od, they grievously desecrated the Shabbos. Once again, Hashem did not destroy them. Why not? Not to empty His name to the nations. And He kept us in the desert, and He said, you know, maybe the children will do better. So he gave us another generation. And He commanded the children to do the Chukim and Mishpatim and the Shabbos, and they also rebelled, they also rejected it. And once again, Hashem stayed His hand not to destroy us, not to empty His words. And then, at the end, there's a curious statement. At that point, again, I did not send my hand. But what did I say? Nasasi lahem yesyadi lahem bamidbar. I raised my hand to them lafitz oisom bagoyim, luzarois oisom barotzois. I just talked about spreading them among the other nations. And this, what this means over here, as the Mabim understands, is that up till now, three times, they've had three strikes. Hashem said, please come with me. And they said, we're not interested. And Hashem did not destroy them three times. At this point in time, Hashem realized that ultimately, the Geula and the Golus of Mitzrayim was not sufficient to clean them up enough to that this would be the last Golus. They are still so characteristically ingrained in this way of life. It's going to be a very long process. That means to say there's going to be multiple Goluyos in the future. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says your actions now are showing that you will be dispersed there in the future. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says at the end of this little section, he says, "V'gam ani nosati lahem chukim lo tovim u'mishpatim lo yichyu bohem." I gave them rules and laws which are not good, will not cause them to live well. What does that mean? And the Mefarshim say that what it means is that he's going to give them over to the other nations. You don't like my culture? Well, I'll give you over to other cultures, and they won't be quite as generous as I was with you. You will see once you try to submerge yourself into those cultures that they'll spit you out. They don't care about you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what you're showing me, ultimately, is missing over here. And in a last sort of chilling line, he says in this, at the very end of this little section, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siva Tamei Oysom B'mat Noysom Ba'avir Kopeter Rechem. I'm going to make you impure through your gifts when you give me the first of your animals. L'man Asame Ashimim L'man Asheyedu. I'm going to make you guilty through your gifts. What does that mean? The Malbim says that they viewed their service as God as an inconvenience of the lifestyle they were leading. Serve the other deities, the other ideas, the other powers, the other conveniences, the other entertainments in their life, that's fine. Serve God, inconvenience. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I'll let you live a life without me. I'll let you see what kind of life it is where you rejected me and I'm no longer there with you. The third section of this history is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them to the land of Israel. And he says, and he brought them to the land of Israel, and he told them, don't serve Avodah Zarah, and they served every Avodah Zarah under the sun. In fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu even questioned them, why are you going to these altars and calling it Habama, the altar? And they still called it the altar. I mean, they completely and wholeheartedly rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now Hashem pivots into the present. He now turns to the elders who came to visit him after this historical narrative of showing how Israel time and time again rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he turns to them and he says, don't follow the ways of your grandparents and your parents who served Avodah Zarah and sacrificed your children. Don't do that. He says, because you know what? You claim, haloi loi hiye, it will not be what you want to be, that you're going to serve the sticks and stones like the other nations. It will not be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears that he will rule over us with a strong hand and outstretched arm and bring us back and from the being scattered around the world, and will judge the sinners and ultimately bring us all to the Har HaKodesh, the holy mountain, where he will demand from us our gifts, and we will all come back to the land of Hashem, and it will be known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God. What's happening over here? What are the Zakenim saying? Why is Yechezkel being so forceful in his way of responding to them? So fascinatingly, what could be said over here is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Hei 105a and by Basra Samachon Beis say something which is really shocking. And that is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Eved Shemachu Rabbi, V'isho Shegeru Shabada, Klum Yesh Loze Alze Klum. You have a master, he kicks out his slave. You know, there's a husband and a wife, there's a divorce which happens. Is there a responsibility to one another afterwards? Is there a relationship to talk of afterwards? What are these elders really saying? They're saying, Hashem, we're witnessing you kicking us off the land. Is there anything else left? Is there still a relationship? Why shouldn't we be like the rest of the nations of the earth? In fact, the Gemara in Baba Basra suggests on Samachon Beis that Miyom Sheposhto Malchus Arisha Shegozeros Rein Gzeros Rois Hakashos, from the day that we had all these terrible decrees on us that stops us from doing Torah Mitzvahs, he says then that some people would say, you know, it's not worth getting married anymore. It's not worth having children because we're finished. The nation has ended. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Haloyis loyisiyye, that will never be. That claim of hopelessness because of the destruction is not true. Why? So the Malbim points out that Hashem may remove his imminent, we'll call it miraculous hashkacha, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still cares as he reprimands us. And that's why he says, when all of us come back to the land of Israel, that'll be the greatest Kiddush Hashem for us and for the world. And the Malbim goes on to explain in each detail, because it's first of all the fulfillment of the ancient bris avos, of the covenant of the forefathers, the justice which has been performed between the good and the bad, and finally the goodness that happens in this whole process is something which will be the greatest proof of Hashem's existence. It's fascinating to note that we today have witnessed this in the last over 100 years of the return to Israel. We are witnessing this exact prophecy of Yidatem Kin Hashem, knowing Hashem is here because of the return to the land of Israel. And we know that after 2,000 years of Golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has chosen us. It took a long time. You know that the first time that a pope ever visited the land of Israel was in the mid-1960s. That means to say, that's almost 20 years after the founding of the State of Israel. Because how could Catholicism look at the Jewish nation and say, wait a second, you exist, you survived, you're here, you came back, you're not the rejected brother? That's what this parak is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it may look like it's long, it may look like it's painful, but understand it's not rejection. Ultimately, it is a process. It may be a very strong and long crucible, but it's a crucible necessary to cleanse us, to be able to return, and we're witnessing that return. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.